words, but his disposition, he is discrediting the institutions of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And the United States of America's population are just sitting on their assets doing nothing, saying, well, he's the president. That would be like a guy becoming a president that's a rapper. And he wants to have a coochie mama standing next to him every time he gives his public address. Don't nobody want to look at that foolishness? See what I'm talking about, man? We are living in a day and age where men have basically lost their will to discern and to talk out against this kind of abomination. And that's exactly what it is. I'm not surprised. And then at the same time, I'm just not surprised. I'm not surprised at anything that Obama does these days.
I'm watching the subtlety of the places that he picks to speak when it comes to Georgetown, a big name school like that. And, and though his one of his next moves is to go to Notre Dame, another, you know, you could say big time Catholic school that has a giant football team and a lot of history behind it and the Gold Dome and all these things behind it. And now the president wants to go to these places to have his speeches, and based on his track record, some of the students at Notre Dame want to protest and not have him come by based on what he's been doing. And so for him to go to these places that are set in stone in our history of being a certain kind of way, being a basically religious place built around those sort of those standards, and now he wants to take his speeches into these places or be given a basic, you know, doctrine thing when he goes to the school. You can just see I'm watching the subtlety of where he goes so that if it's that plan to subtly break people away from the absolutes and to slide in, and you know, it's okay to have him come by because he's the president. It doesn't mean that. It means this, or whatever people might think it means, for him to pick these certain places to have these speeches. It's interesting to watch the subtlety of it and how people react, and to see that people are having to choose sides on what they think, and you know, the people that hold more to a God belief are saying, no, he can't come in here because the guy just opened up the doors to do all of this, you know, baby killing, all this abortion stuff. And the other sides are, you know, giving it the okay. Well, it's the president. Why not let him come in? He's going to have a good speech. It's amazing how slowly but surely you're seeing the subtle break and people having to choose what side they're going to be on.
Yeah, it is, Mark. And what it is, again, I'm just overly surprised that men... I don't think that they're fearful of him. I'm thinking that they, like so many people, when they are in the presence of a rock star or a movie star, that they are mesmerized by the fact that this man would speak to them, this man would look at them, that this man... But the inevitable question is, does this man really understand what the heck is going on in America today? Sure he does. And it's called compromise straight across the board. Now, many of you can feel as outraged as I am about this situation, but feeling outraged doesn't mean anything. I think that the inevitable question is, what do we do now? Because this is going to be his way of doing business for the next 8 years. And God only knows who's going to be in there after the fact, because this is what these people do. This is how these people orchestrate and govern their lives. And I just think that it's a fine example, Mark, of how compromise is made so easy in our country.
Yeah, it's based on how, if it's subtle and it's eased into, sort of backed into the room, people don't recognize it. They don't see it. It's like it's that the little kid story about the wolf being covered up, and little Red Riding Hood can't see, you know, his fangs and see his mouth, and it's all covered up in some sort of cloak of it's not what you really think it is. Don't believe your lying eyes. It's not what you think it is.
I'm thinking about the little nursery rhyme tale when somebody said the king has no clothes on.
Right.
And everybody in the whole population was walking around saying, what are you talking about? What do you mean the king has no clothes on? Look at him. You see, it is what I'm thinking of another illustration. A friend of mine from Carolina, Mark, sent me an email. I'm going to try to raise it. And it was one of the finest emails that I received and today. And it was an email that I received from my friend Eric. And in that email, what he did is he pointed out to me that the Kennel Club has dogs on their contest that they've inbred. And it was an hour video. I'm going to try to send it to you. Here it is right here. My friend Eric Price sent it to me. And it's a video that shows the horrific condition of the dogs in the Kennel Club. I have the sound down, but this video is playing right now. And we're just looking at some pictures right now of dogs that have been in show dogs that are all polluted. In this special hour video, pedigree dogs, look at that.
Yeah.
This dog, because they inbred the dogs and they are giving prizes to the owner. They're killing the dogs. And this little dog right here that had brain surgery, this is from the Kennel Club. And the Brits, what they're doing, giving awards to these dogs and the dog shows, and the dogs are all polluted. And people are spending hundreds and thousands, yes, the Kennel Club, and millions of dollars. And the British public and the American public knows it. No one is saying anything. No one is saying it. And this is what is going on now. I watched that hour documentary, and the poor story about this little pug-nosed dog. These dogs can't walk. They're inbred. They have brain damage. And the people that are speaking out against it, they're talking about what they've done. They've exposed how they are killing the pedigree dogs. You can find that website by going to, you can just type in documentary BBC Pedigree Dogs Exposed. And when you watch that hour special, it is no lie. Now, here again, what you have to do is you have to ask the question, why isn't anybody saying anything about this? Why isn't? Because everybody shut down. It's about money. But wait a minute. Michael Vick's in prison, right?
Right.
For fighting his bulldogs.
Yes.
5 years he's in prison. Now I'm looking at these people, you know, got these dogs, which are diseased, heart disease, brain disease, killing the dogs with convulsions and things like that. The dog can barely stand, is in constant pain, and some of them even breed the dogs to put them down. And these are your rich Europeans and Americans that are using these dogs like this. And some of the owners, of course, are outraged at this killing of the animals. Keep it in mind now. Keep it in mind. You can do that. But then at the same time, your president can vouch for the abortion of fetuses and stem cell research. and when you look at a dog, you got people crying over the little puppies, tripping out because these people have used these dogs for years and overbred them. What I love about this documentary, Mark, when you watch this, is that it shows the way the pedigree dog looked 100 years ago when they took pictures of it, and they compared the dogs that they have today, and they showed the people in the show saying, this is the most perfect dog. And one of the people showed them a picture of the original dog.
Yeah.
When this dog was in show. And the guy that was running the outfit said, I think that's the most ridiculous dog that I've ever seen. And he said, but this is what they look like before you people start inbreeding them.
Yeah.
I mean, man, and this dog and all these dogs that you see right here, Mark, that you're glancing at are dead. Like I said, you go to your Google search and type in a documentary, BBC, Pedigree Dogs Exposed, and you can watch that documentary and see what these people are doing, all for the sake of money. They even went to the House of Lords in England to try to get a justification on it, and the people that runs the show walked away and refused to answer the situation. So it's people like myself that are asking questions about things that are going on are the ones that are being ignored, because everyone is willing to say, come on, man. And these people pay over $1,000 for these dogs.
Amazing. Amazing stuff.
Man, it is amazing. And this is, a sad, sad situation that our country, that our world is in. Here's one letter saying, that's what I was saying about the Kennel Club. They set the standard and the guides and end up judging most of the competitions as well. We have all the wrong people in the wrong places. Did you know that the BBC has refused to air cuffs on TV since the documentary was made? Because that's the major dog group is cuffs. That's out there, C-U-F-F-F-S. And the BBC refuses to show it. Because once this documentary came out and these people are showing this truth.
Yeah.
Man, it is sad. It's just terrible. Sad. Yeah, it is. But, you know, Obama knows that that's the way the world is now, Mark. See, Obama would say, you know what? That's the way the world is, and we're not going to change it. We can change, and we can have a society without people trying to tell us how to run our society. And this is what we've done. And what they tried to do is they tried to incorporate the church in this kind of dilemma. Now, with that in mind, that kind of segues me into the second portion. Let me see where we are time-wise here. Mark, thanks for that article. I had no idea. Yeah, we're about 30 minutes into our presentation. I want to read this whole article. This is taken from the Sentinel News Service. It's written by the Sentinel News Service, and it was taken from http://lasentinel.net, President Obama appoints Bishop Blake, .html. I just want to read it to you because I think it's important. It says, President Obama appoints Bishop Blake as a member of the Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Now, you may say, well, John, what's wrong with that? Now, come on, man. You know, if the preacher can bring some money into the community, well, that's what we need to do. We need to have more money coming into the community. Well, on Monday, we'll see. On Monday, April 6th, President Barack Obama announced the appointment of the Bishop Blake amongst 9 new members of a 25-person White House Advisory Council, which is part of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Now, you have to understand what these people will be used for. President Obama was a community organizer, and he organized a community and so that they could have social programs moved into the community. Now, everybody's happy in the inner city when a new apartment structure is built, when a senior citizens complex is built, and all these things. But you have to understand that what happens when there is a land grab and a sweep for these things, that the property owners inevitably and eventually lose their right to own property. But let me read this thing. President Barack Obama announced additional members of the President's Advisory Council on Faith-Based Neighborhood Partnerships. The Advisory Council is part of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships and is composed of religious and secular leaders and scholars from different backgrounds. Each member of the council is appointed to a 1-year term. the members of the council are Diane Bigelow-Guillen, whatever her name is, president and CEO of SEDCO, New York, New York. Anju Baragava, founder of Asian Indian Women of America, New Jersey. See, and you have to understand why he has all these people amalgamated together. Bishop right. Blate, presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, Los Angeles, California. Noel Castellanos, CEO of Christian Community Develop Association, Chicago, Illinois. The Reverend Peg Chamberlain, that's a female reverend, I guess, president-elect National Council of Churches, USA, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, the National Council of Churches is run by a female, All right, let me keep moving. Dr. Arturo Chavez, president and CEO of Mexican-American Catholic College, San Antonio, Texas. Man, I find that appointment kind of strange. Is he going to tell them to close the borders or what? How about Fred Davey, senior advisor, public-private ventures, New York, New York. Nathan Dismet, director of public policy, Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America, Washington, D.C. See, this amalgamation of all these different groups together, Obama, not even 6 months in office. Look what he's doing. Pastor Joel C. Hunter, senior pastor of Northland, a church distributed, Longwood, Florida. A church distributed? What kind of thing is that? And here's another one. Larry Knox. Okay, Larry Knox, director, regional and faith program, human rights campaign, Washington, D.C. Bishop Vasti M. McKenzie. That's a female preacher of the AME Church. She is a presiding bishop of the 13th Episcopal District, African-American Methodist. Now, you have to understand Vasti's background as a TV news reporter. And so, see, she's a headliner on this group. Dahlia Monkhead, executive director of Gallup Center of Muslim Studies, Washington, D.C. See, he got everybody in there. Reverend Otis Jr., pastor emeritus of Olivet Institutional Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And if you go and watch Otis, type in his name on a Google search, Lord have mercy. Well, let's just keep Dr. Frank S. Page, President Emeritus of the Southern Baptist Convention in Taylor, South Carolina. Okay. Ebo S. Patel, founder and executive director of Interfaith Youth Corps Chicago, Illinois. Anthony Pellareco, general counsel, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. All these people on this committee, Washington, D.C. Why does Obama need all this? Why does he need it? See, you need to be asking the question, what is this committee all about? Nancy Radzin, National President, National Council of Jewish Women, Miami, Florida. Melissa Rogers, Director of Wake Forest School of Divinity, Center of Religious and Public Affairs. What are all of these people doing on this committee? Look at this. Rabbi David Saperstein, Director and Council of Religious Action Center. See, they're blending everything in together. You're going to lose your thesis, lose your identity when they get finished, because anybody that speaks out against this group, because in this group, every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this country is going to be represented. Listen, Dr. William J. Shaw, President, National Baptist Convention. That's the black folk, USA, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Father Larry J. Snyder, President of Catholic Charities, USA, Alexandria, Virginia. There's the Catholics. Richard Stern, President, World Vision, Bellevue, Washington. What is he doing there? And you know, World Vision was the people that was helping the starving children. But everybody's looking for a kickback of a dollar here. And you know what? They're going to all be bowing down to the Antichrist, because you got to compromise yourself to be a part of this group.
With that many people, you're going to have to compromise.
You got to compromise, man, the whole thing. Obama knows just what he's doing. The boy is a fantastic, yeah, I call him a boy. I respect the office of president, but I don't respect Barack Hussein Obama.
The technique is to get the most familiar face from the neighborhoods and to send that person back to make the people, you know, relax.
Yeah.